Get ready for America's number one funny man.
Funny man.
What? Gentlemen, from LA to New York, Chicago to Mississippi. Let's give it up for America's number one funny man,
We do it without fail because I just like to do stuff. I'm gonna just keep it 1,000. Super excited about this group of funny people we got on today. They're all industrious. They're all very dope. I've actually physically seen them be dope, and it's been nothing short of amazing to know them and to love them individually and collectively. How about this? I had a late night snack. I ordered DoorDash, which is crazy expensive, first of all. Whatever you're getting from DoorDash, it's exponentially more expensive than it should be. Okay. So I ordered a DoorDash. I got some freaking jerk wings. When I tell you, these motherfuckers were nothing short of amazing. These jerk wings at 12 o'clock at night, and I know it's wrong. I know. I shouldn't be partaking in no jerk wings, but I couldn't avoid it. Amazing. Wow. Thank you to my guests that are coming on. Shouts out to Miss Alfreda, Emperor Kev. I see you, Granny Wilds, Andromeda in the building. Thank you for popping in. Tangerine Thomas is in the building. Feel free to buy the stars if you're enjoying this broadcast. Thank you, Tangerine. Very dope. Jordan Taylor, Keena Keen, thank you for coming in off the feed from my friends. We really appreciate it. All right, let's get the show underway. I try to populate this podcast with dope people every day. And we just have this great conversation. It was feeling like a morning show, and I decided I didn't want it to feel like a morning show. I wanted to feel like a podcast, a real podcast, where people are just like covering stuff. And I didn't want to date it by being a daily, but we do it every day. I've had a pleasure knowing this lady for how many years has it been? Maybe 15 or plus. Ladies and gentlemen, she is sleeping in the hyperbaric chamber. I'm sure she hasn't aged a day, and it's probably because she has a super great diet. Welcome to the show, Miss Tangerine.
Hey, thank you so much. Well, thank you for having me. Not a hyperbolic chamber.
Yeah, like really, as I think about the first time I ever saw you to now, I can't say you aged a whole lot, but I have had the pleasure of meeting your mommy, and your mommy is timeless as well.
Thank you. Thank
you. So you come from good stock.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, you're an Inglewood girl, am I right?
That's right. West Side all day.
Now, did you avoid the gang life? How did you not become affiliated?
I'm a Gemini. So there's two faces of a Gemini, and we're good at just being on everybody's side. And so I actually had a lot of good friends from the Bloods and the Crips and the M13s and, you know, all the trendy gangsters. And I actually had a graffiti wall in my bedroom. So when somebody would visit me, they could tag my wall. And then another person could come over and cross it out and write on top of it. It was very hood, but, you know, I was a little hood chick.
I love that.
And I was so sad one day I came home when I was almost done with high school and my parents had painted over that wall. And I was like, I didn't even get to take a picture of it yet. I was so sad. But yeah, I was just friends with everybody. I had to catch the bus from my hood through so many other cities to get to a beautiful area where my parents sent me to school, but it made me get to know all the gangsters, girls
and
guys. You
had to navigate the whole thing.
Exactly.
And it was not easy for a young person to do that in that time, man. I lived in Inglewood when I was in LA.
Yes.
And I was on the one Crip block in Inglewood. I lived on Osage. I my neighbors would tell me, my young neighbors, they're like, Rodney, you don't know what it's like because your ass is old head. Like, they not hitting you up like that, like they hit us up every day. So, yeah. Wow. I love Inglewood. What do you think of what Inglewood has become? Like, Inglewood is like the new Hollywood.
Inglewood is so gentrified. Caucasian people are walking the streets in the middle of the night, walking their dog. They're not afraid anymore. They would have gotten their Jordans took back in the day. They would have gotten their jackets took back in the day. But the house I grew up in, my parents struggled to buy it and pay it off for $200,000+. And it went on the market a year and a half ago for almost $1 million. And
The same house.
It had been remodeled. They put hardwood floors in. They made it an open flooring on the first level. They made the bedroom I had upstairs an entire walk-in closet. We already had a pool and a jacuzzi. We was already a two-story home. I don't come from that kind of Inglewood. I come from the hills.
You was rich.
We were doing okay. My parents are middle-aged, and everybody, middle-aged just means that you have debt. It means that you have a car that you're still paying off. You have credit cards you're paying off. You have a home you're still paying off, but you are living in a cool area. And that's what my parents were doing. They're working hard for middle class, and that house is worth $1 million now.
Well, how about that? You know, let me get my other gentleman in here for the day. This guy's comedy is head and shoulders over a lot of people. I've seen him be the coolest man in the room many times. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, The Secret Genius. What's up, bro?
What's good, man? I wasn't sure if he was talking about me until you said the coolest guy in the room part. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's
cool. Like, that's got to be me. That's got to be me.
It's a lot of funny dudes out here, but it ain't too many that's the coolest in the room.
I mean that with nothing but good intentions, because you are a cool guy. I would be a better human being if I was as cool as you are.
Ooh.
I mean, I'll take that.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I've never seen you flustered on stage or off.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that as well. I've been flustered on stage. You've been around while I've been flustered on stage.
Oh, was I there?
Not being noticed is, you know, that's cool for me. I'll take that.
Hey, sometimes the best thing you can do is fly under the radar.
That's correct.
Up next, man, this young man, I've had the pleasure of working with him as the provider of my merch. If you're in Atlanta and you need t-shirts, you need hats, he's got Big Life Clothing. He has the ability to generate whatever artistically you want on a t-shirt or a hat. All that great stuff, and he is an absolute genius. Welcome to the show, artist, comedian, Big Horn. What's up, Horn?
What up, though, man? In the lab with
your phone sideways, man.
Sideways, hold on.
Yeah, you might have to unlock it. Yup, there we go.
All right, I'm tapped in now, man. What's up? I'm in the lab with. How y'all doing today?
Hey, you know what? I love Big Life Clothing, man. I wanted to come on with my hat, but I left it upstairs, and I was already into the show. But talk to me about your business, man.
My business, man, it's taking off right now. I'm basically trying to take the background and market myself as a comedian and get my own brand. Mm-hmm. Because what I noticed in the comedy game is we don't have anybody, like, you know what I'm saying, to control our image, especially starting off from the bottom.
Mm.
So it's best to brand myself and get my own clothing line and do other comedians' t-shirts as well. So it's been doing pretty good for me.
Hey, man, you turn out great work, and I've used your service, man, and it's always stellar. Great, great product, bro.
I appreciate that, man.
Hey, Tangerine, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Tangerine Thomas is in the building.
Boo-boo!
How do you sell your number one product, which is you? How do you sell it?
I sell it by being authentically me, making myself easy to remember, likable, approachable, and I let you know what I'm about. There's a lot of people who are too shy to speak up for themselves, and you could know them for a long time and not know they had a t-shirt business, or not know that they were selling lip gloss on the side, or not know what their actual goals are. I pride myself, actually, when I go to set, I talk to the PAs like, hey, what do you want to do? I know this isn't your end goal. What do you want to be? Right. You know, and I get into these conversations, and it's funny because one of my PAs ended up being an executive producer like less than two seasons later.
Today's PA is tomorrow AEP, and that person never forgets the person that was nice to them, the person that said, "Hey, dude, what is your goal? What is your dream?"
And absolutely, absolutely,
that matters.
So I think letting people know your goals, saying it out loud, typing it in your bio, whatever, is a way to sell your brand if your brand is you. Because people are like, oh, I'm looking for that. You have that to offer. This person and that person should meet. Let me connect you. So, you know, it's just all about making it known.
Indeed. Hey, he's here. He is the secret genius. He's Kamal Secret.
Correct.
Secret is your family name.
That is my actual name, yes. My daddy, my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy. That's as far as I know.
So is there a secret plantation somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. It is some white secrets that spell their name with two T's.
Okay.
I've never met any of these people. This is just apparently they are in Texas. You know, that could be where we come from.
That's the secret to knowing that they're the white side.
That's the real name.
The secret is that y'all.
If you meet anybody named out there, secret, more than likely black. They are related to me. Unless they spell it with two T's, then they're not.
Yeah, then they're not. They're not at all. So if your name is secret with one T, they're probably a family member of yours.
For sure.
Can I say something? I just went to my family reunion in North Carolina. I go every July to pay homage to my dad's side of the family because he passed away.
You always go.
Yes, now that he's dead, passed away. He didn't tell us about it when he was alive. But when I went this time in July, it's called the Barber family reunion. You know people with the last name Barber. Uh-huh. It's a very small town.
And his family.
So one of my relatives met a white man with the last name of Barber. And she said, oh, you must be related to me because, you know, you're a barber. And this is a small town. He looked back in his history and he ended up speaking at our reunion to let us know that his family owned my family.
Oh no!
As slaves, yep.
he brought
no, because he's actually our cousin because he impregnated my great 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 grandmother Judy Barber had 12 kids. Some of them were mixed because of this family, and so he's actually our cousin, and his kids have played with my cousin's kids, and so everybody gave this man so much respect, and they were so grateful. He came and he had a whole presentation. He printed out copies of pictures of the family who fought in the war and all the stuff and showed us where the slave quarters were, which became schools after that. And I was sitting there horrified, like, is this okay with everybody?
Right.
Like, this is what it is. Like, slavery is not so far beyond. And so his barber that was white was related to our barber that was black because it's really, they were all raised on the same plantation. I say all that to say the secrets of the two T's might just be still the family.
I might have took a T out, man.
Yeah, man. I need to be my white side. And that's a great point, Tangerine. As we unpack our lineage, you know, we aren't far removed from the white side of our families.
No,
I need to meet my white side.
And that's a lot to think about. I want to talk about today, though, your side hustle, if anything. I remember as I was growing up as a young comic, I used to always say to myself, "There was no plan B. There was no other thing that I was going for."
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of readjusted that over a 30-year career. And I do have side hustles, whether it's merchandise that I sell when I'm on the road or my improv workshop or any number of things that we develop over time. Tangerine, what's your side hustle?
I guess social media would be my side hustle. I used to say I have no plan B as well, because if you have a plan B, you'll fall back on it. And being from LA, everybody would come out here to be an actor, and then next thing you know, they're selling real estate or they're a teacher because they didn't make it in a year or two. So I would say no plan B, no plan B. But honestly, social media has become my plan B because it's still an entertainment. I get paid to post. I get paid to, you know, for engagement and reaction, but I'm still getting to entertain people.
You know, I learned from you that no content is bad content. Like we did a gig last year at Nate Jackson Super Funny Comedy Club.
Yes.
And you were documenting the whole day. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, she like, to me, this would be like a whack moment. And you did an awesome moment.
Because there are a lot of people who could never get to Super Funny Comedy Club to see what that's like. And they just want to know what our experiences are. We take for granted that we're in a different city every month. We take for granted that we're on a set of of John's Family Vacation and a Tyler Perry film and all that stuff. But they would love to know what that experience is like. So I'm just like, hey, it's going to be on my Patreon right. Or it's going to be on my Facebook.
We've been in a couple of movies. We got a couple of movies together.
We kind
of
seen a lot of movies, stars.
Man. You're out here, Rodney.
Uncle Rodney.
Hey, Tangerine, you got to not only be in the film, but you got to have your own name.
I did. Cedric is amazing. I asked him if that was okay. I was like, can I have a name? Because, you know, it doesn't look good to be like dancer number one on your IMDb. I was like, can I have a name? Right. And he was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, I guess I'll call you Peaches. And I was like, bro, my name is Tangerine. If you're going to call me a fruit.
If you're going to call me a fruit, nah, nigga, call me my fruit.
Let me be me.
And he was like, all right, Reenie, get in here. And then he introduced me as Tangerine, and I almost fainted on set because I'm sitting here being introduced to Solange Knowles, Bow Wow, Vanessa Williams, and who the world saw that movie. It was on planes, you know, the trailer was, Cedric.
Are you still getting residual checks from that movie?
I am. I absolutely am from Fox.
Let me tell you something. Johnson Family Vacation is the gift that keep on giving.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I worked 4 weeks on that movie, and I made maybe 10 grand. I paid most of it out to managers and agents.
Mm.
I didn't make a lot of money. I've absolutely made probably $100,000 off that movie.
I love it. I didn't have to pay anybody because my part was so small that I wasn't sent there by a team. I was supposed to just be like a glorified extra dancing with no lines.
Got it.
But I had asked, you know, can I say something? Yeah, this is me on set. Can I say something? Okay, yeah. Can I have a name? Like, I'm going to bump myself up. So I didn't have a team. But the fact that Cedric said okay to that, and he's cool with me every time I see him, I'm hearing there's a part two. You know what? I'm on strike. I can't talk about my past movies right now. Let me shut up. Y'all talk.
Yeah, we on strike. We can't talk about it.
No, I'm listening. I'm learning off y'all.
You're such great. And also, Robin Thede was in that movie, and she didn't ask, and so she didn't say shit.
There was quite a few of my friends who were extras in the barbecue scene, and they didn't have any words. They didn't ask. But look at Robin Thede now, Black Lady Sketch Show, and I cast her in the first.
She's producing. She's writing. She does it all. Secret Genius, Kamal, let me ask you this, man. What is your side hustle, if anything?
I don't know, because I kind of treat everything as part of the hustle. It's one hustle to me. And with varying branches, you know what I'm saying? So I do
because you got the podcast, successful podcast, Morning Culture.
I've got merch. I've got, you know, stand up. I write for other people. I shoot.
But that's all part of the greater hustle.
That's all to me. That's all the secret genius. All of that is falls under the umbrella of me. They're all talents that I have. So I put the most behind whatever is moving the most at that time, but I don't consider any of them side hustles because to me they all push each other forward. They're all connected. As my comedy career expands, so does my ability to sell merch. So does my ability as the podcast grows.
Everything goes together.
Like everything is building everything else up. So it's. I don't really consider nothing on the side. I just consider them all branches of the hustle that is my brand.
You know I saying? Love it. Hey, Big Horn, you got it. I don't know if it's a side hustle. It's a real hustle. I mean, the merch is a real thing, man. Sure. And yeah, Big man. Life is one of those dope things. I saw one of the comics wearing a pair of your shorts. I was like, I need some Big Life. I want Big Life on my
nice.
Shorts.
Man, it's all over bigger. The scene, man. It's all over the scene, and it's shocking to me, man. But I'm going to tell you what I'm on right now, man. As you all know, what may not know, I done had so many near-death accidents in my life. Yeah. I'm just trying to get all my gifts out. I'm trying to get it all out, man. You know what I'm saying? So the clothing line is one thing. The comedy is one thing, man. I'm good at cooking, construction. So I want to do get off in this real estate, flipping homes, and basically – empower other people to use all their gifts. So that's what I'm on.
Amen.
Hey, Big Horn.
On the left.
Let's talk about it, man. Because you had a near death experience with your eye.
I just got my new eye too. Check me out. You can't even tell, can you?
No. Which one is it? It's the left one.
Yeah. They put it in.
What?
A few months ago. Yeah, I had it taken out. in December.
Taken out, as in the whole eyeball was out the socket.
Yeah, that was after a long-going process, though. I was in an accident in 2008, and I dealt with the pain for years and years because I didn't want to have it removed and I didn't want to be on medication. But they finally removed it in December. And I tell you this, man, on a, like a...
So you just had an inoperable eye that was just there.
Yeah, giving me pain.
So now you have what we saw, like a guy like Sammy Davis Jr. who had a prosthetic almost, right?
Yeah. See, I'm waiting. I got to have this one in for 3 months before I go get my designer eye.
Okay.
I'm going to get like a, I'm about to go get a fish aquarium or something. I'm going to get something crazy. I'm going to get a snow globe or something. I'm going to get something cold.
Oh, I've always been impressed with your comedy, man, because you never hesitate to talk about what you went through. Mm. And, you know, it seems like you're finding your voice, man. Do you feel like that your comedy is turning the corner?
Yeah. I think it's I'm trying to turn it more into comedy and motivation, man, because like you said, the accident I had, I actually seen myself doing this. A lot of people don't believe in out-of-body experiences, but I actually seen myself doing this. So I'm just walking it out, man, and I'm like a dummy. I'm figuring it out, finding my voice. Every time I go to the stage, I find out something new about myself. And that's it, man. Every day learning something new.
Tangerine.
Can you see out of your new eye yet?
Never gonna be able to see all that.
No, they can't hook up the cords in the back. My mom asked me that.
My mom asked me that. It looks real. It looks like I can see out of it, but I can't.
It ain't a bionic eye. It's just.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and the amazing thing about it, when they removed it, my balance, everything was off, man. It threw off my equilibrium, my thought process, everything. Wow. But then when they put this prosthetic back in, it kind of fixed it. Even though it's fake, like your body needs two of everything. Doctor was telling me that. So I'm talking about as far as my speaking ability right now, I wasn't able to speak this fluently because I got nerve damage. So it helped with all that.
Oh, wow.
I was in the club bumping into people, man. And
hey, man, and you know, it's interesting you bring that up because as a stroke survivor and my stroke affected my left side, like, I have to make myself be aware of that side sometimes.
Yeah,
I get fatigued, I have to make myself not bump into shit or
But the plus side, it makes your brain work harder. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you have to focus more on this side. It makes your brain work extra harder because that's a weakness in your body. So you got to kind of strengthen it.
Not a dumb question at all, Tangerine. Not a dumb question at all.
Thank you. Y'all are miracles, both of you gentlemen.
But that's what I've been on lately, and I wanted to pose this question to you guys as well. Have you asked God for what you want? Like, have you sat down and said, God, I want XYZ? Have you been specific, Big Horn?
Yes, I have, and it gives me anxiety because you know what you want, but how to get there. And what's going to happen in between you and that, getting to that space. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do everything. You can't get it all done today, but it wakes me up at 5:30 in the morning every day, man.
That's great.
Wow. Tangerine, have you made that list?
Absolutely. I do a vision board every year. I put it on my phone so that I look at it all day while I'm looking at my phone. And it's funny because I came back from my family reunion last year, and a couple months later, I said, you know what, God? I would like to be on a show that's funny on this specific network before I come back to my next reunion.
Got it.
2 weeks later, got an audition, booked it, was flewed out, shot it. The show actually premiered today, and I'm not allowed to say what it is because I'm on strike, but it was.
I'm not going to say what it is, but I know about it, and it's very dope, and your star does a great job.
Yes, I watched the show at like 1 a.m. because, you know, it's on a streaming site, so it came on, you know, whenever, at midnight, and I was like, okay, this came out all right, but it just came from me saying, hey, God, I would like to work on this genre on this network, please and thank you. And then I hadn't even had an audition in a long time. And I had just changed my hair to this instead of straight. And it was my first audition with this hairstyle. Booked it right away. I was like, oh, well, all you got to do is just say what you want. Oh, okay, cool.
How about that? I've been guilty of not saying what I want. Secret Genius, man. Are you that guy? Are you one to go to God, to your higher power with your request list?
I am. And I've always been a borderline religious, spiritual person, but I've never been one up until recently to pray for myself.
Wow.
Like, I always have been one to pray for my family members, pray for my children, pray for the people around me, pray for my own health, and, you know, but mainly praying for the prosperity of people around me and not really even thinking anything of it. And I would say probably about 3.5-4 years ago, I had a dramatic shift in my perspective on just positive thinking, because I wasn't really a negative thinker, but I just never really put too much credence in, you know, positive thinking being able to push things forward. But now I have, and I even recently, man, just to be transparent, had a moment in the car where I was riding around. I was just thinking, I was like, man, like, you are really doing what you want to do right now. Like, you are really doing the things that you have been praying for to happen are happening. And I had to pull over. You know what I'm saying? I broke down.
It'll break you down.
I was bawling. I was like, man, it's crazy to think. You know, things like that work. And I was just taking stock of everything that had been happening and all the dominoes that were just falling into place. I was like, man, this is, I had to pull over because I was just power. Like, man,
I love
is,
that.
The power overwhelm you, man. Yeah.
And here goes, guys, like you got to step back and take inventory of the stuff. Like, yo, I booked a TV show. I live in a beautiful home. I got beautiful artwork. I all the stuff that is easy to take for granted. You asked for, though. You said, like, my wife, unbeknownst to me, before we moved into this home, she wrote a list of the things she wanted in the home. And I didn't notice that after we moved in here, she was like, this house is everything I wanted. And I said, you need to be fucking writing more shit down.
For real, her power worked.
That's so funny. That's what I discovered when we moved into this house. There were certain things I wanted in the home and certain things my husband wanted. And we hadn't talked about all the details of what each other wanted. Uh-huh. But when we got here, we both had a feeling. As soon as we got in the living room, we're like, this is the house. And then after we start going through escrow, we start saying, I wanted this and I wanted that and I wanted this. And then it's like a four-level house. I looked out one day, and I don't really have a lot of yard. We don't live in a country like I see you over here flexing like your yard on me, Secret Genius, and I know you're over in Atlanta. We have a tiny, tiny front yard, and I guess I call it my sky yard. The rooftop is our backyard, but it's levels to the house. And I looked at it one day, and I said, this is my Barbie dream home that I played with growing up, because I had the multi-level townhouse for Barbie. And I loved it. And I wanted to be this little corporate little lady like my Barbie doll. And I was like, look at God. God gave me this that I used to ask for when I was a little girl.
You got a fucking Barbie dream house.
I got a Barbie. I got my Rainy dream house. I had no idea.
Okay, now, Tangerine, I'm glad you brought up your husband. He's one of my favorite humans.
Mine too.
Clayton Thomas is an awesome human being. And CT. We were all on the foxhole together, and we cracked jokes every day with Jamie Foxx and the whole crew. This is podcast before there were podcasts.
Yes, if we were filming video of that, whoo,
we
would be
were
millions
so
of
ahead
views.
Of the power curve.
Yes, I used to take a picture of us because everybody wanted to see what we looked like at each episode. I would take the picture and post it on the Facebook group fan page just so they could see what we was wearing
and
that day
group
and who we were making fun
still
of.
Still talking to each other.
They're still in the Facebook. That's the only reason I joined Facebook, was because I wanted to hear the replay of our show and see what they had to say about it. And that's where they were doing it in Facebook. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll get on Facebook. But yeah, that was the genesis of all of this.
So I remember vividly you and Clayton start making these viral videos. Y'all start making, y'all were like the first people that I knew personally that was making videos for the internet.
Yeah, he invited me over to his apartment. We were just friends, just co-workers, and he asked me to be in a sketch, and I love doing sketches. I used to do them live at different theaters around here in my sketch comedy groups. So I was like, oh, sure, I'll do a sketch. Get to his house. He's in a towel.
Wait a minute.
It's dark in there. Now, mind you, I already had TV credits at this point, so I was like,
you're a star.
I was like, oh, okay. You didn't get dressed yet. Yeah. I just got the shower. Okay, cool.
He asked me before he asked you. I was like, Tangerine ain't going to do that shit.
I love comedy that much, Rodney Perry.
Wow.
That I lowered my requirements of what my union would have provided for me. You know, dressing room, a meal, you know, a crew. I got there like, hey, where's the camera guy? He's like, oh, I'm going to shoot it. I was like, oh, okay, where are we shooting it? We go to his bedroom. I believe it was the air mattress.
Pull the towel off.
I said, where's the lights? Where's the crew? No, I'm going to do everything.
Where's the microphone?
Where's the sound guy? He was actually very respectful. Put on some shorts and a tank top. We were in his bed pretending that we were doing something. I was fully dressed under the covers. We shot it. The lighting was terrible. He edited it on his computer and posted it within a couple days. And it was part of our wedding montage video because it's just so ridiculous that was our Genesis story. But I should have left as soon as he opened the door in the towel and told me there was nobody else there.
You should have left.
That was a Me Too movement waiting to happen. I should have left, but he was very respectful. He thought I was going to give him some just because we were in that environment. But I was just like, I didn't realize that till years later. He was like, yeah, I took you to Kookaroo Chicken afterwards. I thought I was giving you a first date. I was like, boy, I don't even eat chicken. Like, what are we doing? But
right, you're a vegan.
But he didn't know. But he thought that was an expensive, you know, impressive place
Kookaroo
to take me at the
huge,
time.
Yeah.
But bless his heart. But he got me eventually.
He eventually got you.
He did.
Do you recommend guys to take that route with the ladies nowadays?
Which route? To take them to Kookaroo Chicken?
Take them to Kookaroo. Take them, shoot a video, the whole nine.
I think that people should invite you to do something creative that you're into or that they're into instead of just let's go to movies and dinner. I think that's too easy. And I think the one time I was approached by a non-Black person was a Caucasian policeman. He approached me, told me I was gorgeous, and asked me if I wanted to go to a carnival. And I was like, I wish I dated out of my race. This sounds so fun. Right. I love this idea because nobody's no bro. What you say, Secret?
I said I do want to go to a carnival, but not with a white man.
I'm not racist. I think I was seeing somebody at the time, but I was just like, man, brothers never come at me with creative things
to
do.
Go to carnival in the
brothers
hood.
Don't go to carnivals though. We just didn't get
carnival.
Time.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
at
I,
the
I,
mall
I don't think I've
every 2 months
before.
See,
yeah,
that's
the carnival
that's
is coming. It's gonna be in the parking lot of the mall,
right?
Yeah,
and y'all not gonna go.
Country carnival is the best.
I go to Six Flags.
I would love
country
that
carnivals.
Too.
I like I've the country carnivals with the
I'm
animals.
I'm scared of carnival rides because they pack them up in the truck and ride to the next town and then put them up there.
That's gotta be a problem. Yeah,
hey, them screws loose. You know them
screws. Yeah, man. You don't know.
Hey, Horn, give me this, bro. Are you or were you an athlete?
Yeah, I was a big athlete, man. I played college basketball, a little college, and football. I was reckless, though.
Horn is still dunk on you today.
Yeah, I still can hoop now.
Horn, he used to lock motherfuckers up in their locker.
Yeah, man, I was reckless, man. I tore my body up playing football, so I had to switch to basketball.
Okay. What position you play football, like safety or something like that?
I played cornerback, running back, defensive end in high school.
Really?
Yep.
Are you tall? Big Horn?
Yeah.
Horn is 6'3". About 6'5", okay. Right?
No, 6'3".
I couldn't tell. 6'3". Nice. All right. See what you're doing. Can I just take a moment to commend everybody's lips?
One thing Rodney Perry never get is, I'm 5'7". Oh, nice. You never hear that.
You're adorable, Rodney. Are you 5'7"?
You said adorable.
I'm a smooth 5'7".
I didn't even realize that. I love you so much.
I'm 5'4", and that's a good thing.
I never even noticed that, that's Rodney. 5'7".
I walk like I'm bigger than I am, though. I really walk around like I'm taller than I am. But
big Rodney.
My friends tell me all the time, nigga, why your stride so long? Nigga, you are 5'7".
Oh.
Slow down.
That's so funny. Yeah, you wear it well, Rodney.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, so how tall are you, Tang?
5'8.5".
You're 5'8.5"?
Yes.
I used to date a girl. She was a 6-footer.
Oh, wow.
My girl's 6 feet.
Your lady 6 feet.
Yeah,
she is with the right guy.
Yeah, you're 6'3".
This girl.
Yeah,
she's 6 foot, but she's seated, Horn. So when I meet her, we're like eye to eye.
Mm.
We exchange numbers. We talk for 2 weeks. We don't see each other, but you can't talk to Rodney Prairie for 2 weeks without being in love with him.
Oh yeah,
facts.
Real talk.
So I talked to this girl for 2 weeks, Alana Howard. And she's somewhere doing something really great with her life. And yeah, we had a great relationship for she was a fellow Virgo. So we just our paths would never cross. We were just parallel paths, both driven in our own profession. So that's probably what kept us apart. But she was a great, great girl. And my wife still hate on her sometimes.
That's cute. Your wife won, though. She got the prize. Y'all been together.
I try to tell her that all the time. She won't hit that shit, Tangie. Hey, it's Rodney Perry. You tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. My friends are with me today. Tangerine Thomas is in the building. My man, Big Horn. And Big Horn is with 2 G's, am I right?
Yeah, 2 G's.
Big Life is with 2 G's.
Big Life Nation. Check me out.
I'm going to tell you what idea I had last night. This is a new game that's sweeping the country. I call it Absolute Facts.
Okay.
Absolute facts. All right. Here goes, Tangerine. If you want to argue with me, please.
Okay.
Beyonce is the best performer ever.
That's silly. That is silly. I love Beyonce. I think I'm part of the Beehive, but we've had Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Oh, better than him. Better than Michael Jackson. Better than Usher. James Brown. Fucking Beyonce is a fucking beast.
She's amazing. Whoa. Best and ever are the problems in that sentence. I'll give her props. She's amazing. She performed pregnant. She
Michael Jackson never did that.
Michael Jackson never James Brown. Pregnant.
Hey, I love me some James Brown, but Beyonce, I mean, I was watching her. I was on this surfing yesterday. And I was like, fucking Beyonce is the best performer ever. She was floating in the air. She was hovering for like 10 minutes.
She has a great crew. She's innovative. She just reminds me of Michael Jackson. I feel like she got a lot of inspiration from him, and I think she's amazing. But the ever part is what gets me in that sentence. The best ever.
All right. Good argument. All right, Big Horn. Absolute fact. Vagina is way better than head.
Oh, yeah. Absolute fact.
That's an absolute fact. You with me on that?
Yeah, man. I'm old school, man. I'd rather the vagina, man.
All day, every day. You can't beat it.
All day, every day. For real.
It's wonderful. Like, I was talking to one of these young comics, and you're talking about, I had a girl, her coochie was trash. I'm like, I never had it.
That's how these young niggas is nowadays. They like
all the coochie has always been
against it, talking about how good being her stuff is all trash. I'm like, why would you be talking against it?
How dare you talk against the vagina?
We ain't know how to make it good. We'll spit on it, do whatever we gotta do, but we'll make it good. Like,
man, come on, Horn.
But there are so many people who prefer the mouth.
That's not
the bottom.
Me,
I know some people like that. Yeah,
is that true?
I have a very close friend that you know very well, whose initials are his name are initials, and it's not my husband. He prefers
okay,
the
okay,
mouth.
Okay.
He prefers the mouth.
Mr. Kingsley. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yo, secret genius.
Yo.
Vagina is way better than head.
I mean.
Uh oh.
I'm a fan of the combo myself. I like
combo is a win.
I had a combo.
You want you want chicken and the biscuit.
You want chicken and biscuit. Head
is
the fries
appetizer.
And the drink.
Biscuit by itself.
Yeah. I can do that.
But it ain't the biscuit. It's the chicken.
Yeah, man. But you take a bite of that chicken and then a bite of that biscuit, and you got them both in your mouth at the same. That's what you want.
Ain't nobody ever came in this world through no biscuit. We all came through the chicken.
Came through the chicken.
That's
y'all.
Sure.
Wow, I love it. Absolute fact. A crazy woman is crazier than a crazy guy. Tangerine.
Absolutely. The things that me and my friends have done as a scorned woman to these men. Yes, absolutely. Because we are detail oriented. We are, we think about something. We plan it. We plot it. We pay attention to your pattern. So we know what's important to you. We know where we can find you, or we know how to find the person that we want to get the revenge with you. Yes. Yes. Absolute fact.
Wow.
Yes.
You just broke that all the way down. Yes. But Horn, you had some crazy women in your life. Is a crazy woman crazier than a crazy guy? I know some crazy dudes. And man, them niggas are scary as hell.
Man, my mama the craziest woman I ever seen. I seen somebody shoot at my mama. She went and took her jacket off and went and took the gun from him and beat him up.
No, she didn't.
And it was man, a man?
Look, real, most men, we got sick. We gonna run. But her craziness, I done seen my mama kick down doors.
I like your mama.
I was too weak. She told me to kick the door down. She said, move out of the way, boy. Boom! I said,
I love it.
Yes. Yes.
So that was my
One of my favorite comedians, Kamal the Secret Genius. A crazy woman is crazier than a crazy guy.
I think that's fair. I think that a crazy man is scarier than a crazy
man. Now, that's a fact.
Because a crazy man be out here eating people and killing them and burying them. And shit. Crazy men do different stuff than crazy.
And
crazy
that requires us to put the caveat of, like, the color of their skin into the mix.
Also, fair.
Yeah, who's doing the eating and who's doing the mass shootings?
Who's doing the mass shootings? The whites.
Who had to answer it? Who had to say it out loud?
You got to disassociate from that. Got to say it. Got to give it a label.
Absolute fact. Absolute fact, guys. Secret genius. Yo. White men are a little, white males are a little gay. Absolute fact.
Hey man, listen. What you get out here on this comedy scene, and you start, you know, you start dabbling in them white rooms.
He put the fact.
You see it, man. It's entrenched in what they do. Like they be plucking each other on the nuts and all kind of just weird stuff.
I've been friends with my best friend for 30 years. He's never plucked my nuts.
I mean, like this. they got a name for it. Like
my dad told me, he said, don't play with white boys. They like to put the foot in your ass. Like stuff.
Fingers.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They play different.
Yeah.
So have y'all seen, because when I was a kid, you know, I grew up intertwined. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in a mixed environment. It's school, at home, family. Right.
So,
life,
so you had black friends and white friends.
Right. My family, black, home life, black. My parents made an effort to put us in private schools for educational purposes. So at school, I was around white people a lot. So you hear shit that don't make sense to you as a black person. Like, it just doesn't, it don't make sense. So recently they had this shit go viral about the white boys sitting around as teenagers and
the circle jerk.
Correct.
Yes.
Little Richard used to talk about the circle jerk.
I would hear that in high school. Like when I went to an all black Muslim.
So when you would go to your neighborhood school, with your regular friends, you would hear that you missed out on the circle jerk.
No, I wouldn't hear nothing about missing out, Rodney. Okay? But I just heard what it was. And I was like, hold on, man. Y'all, people be sitting around in the circle and jacking off together. And it was weird. And so now it's going viral because I thought it was just some shit. I thought it was just very real. But now it's going viral that these older, middle-aged white men are talking about how regular of a thing that was in their friend groups. Like, they all had different names for it. Some of them would, like, whoever, like, they would all ejaculate onto a biscuit. Whoever was last had to eat it.
Oh, wow.
So it's dead fact.
Man, I'm from the country. In Chattanooga, a lot of those country clubs and the bars those white dudes hang out in, some of the toughest looking white dudes, and they start drinking, they be twerking on each other, man. They
no,
be
they
dancing
don't. No,
on
they
each
don't
other.
Be, you making that up?
No, I'm not. I'm serious. They start humping each other, man. They dance on each other's behind. Like, it's weird. They do it like it's normal, though. So I'm like,
Tangerine, guess, white males are a little gay.
Yeah.
I've answered already.
You have answered several times. I want to make sure
we all can agree on that one.
And that's why you see so much gay humor in mainstream comedy films
you see
and
a
TV
lot of
shows.
Gay humor. They talk about blowing each other all the time, and
yeah,
it's like,
they moon
what?
Each other,
like,
slap
when
each other
it become
in the butt.
Funny.
Yeah. It's part of their, and maybe that means we're insecure because we're not joking about stuff like that. Maybe they see it as, oh, come on, lighten
we've
up.
We've been objectified.
I don't know if it's insecurity, but I will say, like, I've been to, like, Hedonism, and when you go to Hedo, right, there's a nude beach and then there's a prude beach. And when black people go, the nude beach is, like, 25% of the beach, and the prude beach is 75% of the beach when the blacks are there. When the whites, it's completely opposite. It's and they don't care what they look like. They just go out there and get naked.
No inhibitions. They're freer. See? Maybe we can learn from them.
I can understand why we ain't so sexual. We may be more protective of our body parts than them, though, because we get objectified. Being a big black man in sports and everything, our bodies get looked at different. So we yes. ain't. It ain't that funny to us.
I mean, you look at the combine, like the combine for NFL or NBA. The combine is the slave block.
Slave sign up.
From slavery, for
sure. Ooh, Big Horn, do you have any shirtless photos on your Instagram, Mr. 6'3" athlete?
No, my okay. girl. All right. Nah, I've been trying to be right. good.
I was going
to
look it up.
Girl, shut that down.
Yeah.
Hey, man, nigga, you know what I started doing? I don't touch nobody in the picture no more. My wife was like, "What the fuck are your hands?"
Your wife be on you.
Like this.
You gotta show your hand. You gotta show your hand on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta just see the hand. No,
I just gotta make sure my girl with me. I just gotta make sure she with me because she likes women too. So I just
can't
be extra by myself.
Damn. What's her type?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, baby. She's like tall. She like thick women.
Oh, I'm not there.
Oh, get out of here. Like, I don't want to compete against no woman, though. Like, I don't want my woman to like women. Because I just hard enough to deal with all these men around here. Then you got to fucking worry about running off with a bitch. I don't want to be a part of that.
Why is it a bitch?
It challenges the brain.
Why she got to be a bitch?
Challenges the brain.
Because she took your bitch.
It challenges the brain.
Dirty bitch. Anyway, absolute fact, MC Hammer is the GOAT. Whoa, you had to fall out your chair. Tangerine, MC Hammer is the greatest of all time.
Finish the sentence. Finish the sentence. The greatest of all time at what?
At MC Hammer.
The lyrics were not very difficult. They were catchy. The dances were a lot of fun, and he had a great season. Where he was all you talked about, and you were trying to do the dance around the dance floor, you know, with your big baggy pants on.
I did. I had the pants. I own the pants.
I wore Hammer pants to school.
Didn't everybody in that time? Huh?
What kind of shoes did you wear?
Custom made too. I don't know who made them Hammer pants. They wasn't bought from the store. Somebody grandma made me them pants.
Are you serious? You had some custom made Hammer pants?
I'm glad nobody in my family could afford no Hammer pants.
No, and listen.
Custom made.
I went to
hold on. I had to wear my mama's work pants. Is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. You want to argue the point?
Greatest of his time. When he was out, he was great.
Greatest of all time? Nah.
Hammer was the GOAT. And you hear people talk about him. First of all, Hammer maybe single-handedly made hip-hop go global.
Yeah. And he put a lot of people on. He made a lot of people some money. He gave a lot of his money away. So, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he lost it and went bankrupt, right?
His time.
He had way too many people to pay.
Yeah, he spent a lot of money, man. He had golden floors in Fremont, California. He did a whole lot.
He had all his nieces and nephews on stage. Everybody was on stage.
Yeah.
Dude, he had the whole city of Fremont, California on stage.
And promised him a check.
I saw him alive like three different times.
Oh, wow.
And the MC Hammer show might be better than Beyonce's show.
Wow. I would have loved to experience that.
I would have loved to.
Is this, what era is this? Is this Too Legit to Quit? Is this Pumps in the Buck?
Or is this when he was with Two Big MCs?
Hammer King.
You know what I'm saying? Which
Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him, the original Hammer.
You on Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him, the OG. Can't Stop.
What's How many name? Albums did he do?
Can't Touch This. He had probably six albums.
What?
Only
Can't Touch This with the biggest.
Only three of them counted, though.
Okay.
I don't think he had six.
I don't know. Hold on. Let me ask ChatGPT.
Can't Touch This was the first era. Then Too Legit to Quit.
Oh, so that was a different albums. Okay.
That was two albums. That was two separate albums.
Okay.
And then
that's the pop stuff. But he had albums that preceded both of those.
Was on the same album as Too Legit.
Man, I don't know nothing about Hammer.
Oh, Hammer was my man. I ain't gonna hold you.
Was
Hammer.
He the GOAT?
I wanted to be Hammer, nigga. Hammer I still was my.
Now, I just used to watch the cartoon like that.
Hammer and Michael Jackson, you couldn't tell me shit about neither one of them.
I had the motherfucking gazelles.
Oh, yeah, the big glasses. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had to close my comedy show with a tribute to MC Hammer. It was incredible.
Were you doing the dance?
You pretty athletic, too.
I would do
too.
The whole dance. I would finish the dance with a fucking leap in the air into a split.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have never seen Rodney Perry live,
no,
especially
Rodney
in the heyday when he's jumping around in a suit, he will. It's worth your money, folks. It is worth your money. You'd be all over that stage. I love it.
Somebody said Heavy D was a big deal. Heavy D was the GOAT.
Heavy D
of
was
era.
Man.
Heavy D wasn't bigger than Hammer ever.
Nah. He definitely didn't have any dance moves to compare.
Okay, can't.
Well, Heavy D can dance now. Don't do Heavy D was.
Oh, Heavy D done had that sway.
Hey, Candy Kisses. What's up, Candy King? What's up, Team Tangerine? I see y'all in the chat. What's up, Isaac? What's
Team
up,
Tangerine? Tangerine came through today, too. My mama says 88 to 93
was
Hammer time.
Oh, wow. He had a nice little era.
He had a run. I'm telling you, he had a crazy run.
Yeah, Hammer had a nice run, man.
The cartoon? Y'all remember the cartoon, though.
Hammer for me was like third grade to probably sixth grade.
So okay, wait, Secret Genius. When did Hammer lose you? When did you jump off the Hammer bandwagon?
Pumps in the Bump.
Pumps in the fucking Bump. Yes.
Oh, you didn't like that?
He had his fucking knapsack on, his balls. Two commercials. No, I don't want to be part of this no more. Hammer, I'm out.
Now, was he talking about the shape of a woman? Pumps in a Bump?
It was about.
I like the girls with the pumps in the
whole
bump.
Video was a pool party, and he was in his Speedo the whole time.
Oh, so he made the focus on him and not the women with the high heels and the big.
The Speedo was a distraction.
Heels, 90 seconds of the video was his high heel.
He was trying to make sure he crossed over.
His pump was bumping.
Oh, that's hilarious.
His bump was pumping.
His pump was pumping. All right. Oh, last one, absolute fact. Stevie Wonder can see.
For sure.
What? Why so, Secret Genius?
I've heard too many stories of him playing around, man. I don't think he can see. But I think he like Jack Thriller. But he was always like that.
This is very offensive right now.
Huh?
This is very offensive right now. I want y'all to know that.
Jack Thriller.
Because you got one eye.
Yeah, y'all just talking about people.
Shit. Man, yeah. I didn't hear too many
stories. Have you been in the same room with Stevie Wonder living in LA all these years?
Only once. I didn't get to talk to him yet. I love the fact that he's still alive, still owns the radio station that you used to be a part
KKLH.
Of. And
love, joy, and happiness.
I can't wait for his biopic to come out because I know he's got some stories about some women that he's took down. If he could see, I don't think he would have let his hairline and them braids happen for such a long
time.
Yeah. Damn.
I think that I think that they dress him and put him how they want him to, and he has no idea. I think if he could see, no,
he can't have an
idea. He would have made some changes.
He reads Braille, so he knows, and at the very least, he knows how the hair looks.
He can feel where his hair at. Like, he
you
knows
still don't know what that look like. You can, but feel, yeah, but you can never see.
He know it used to be up here, and now it's back here.
But if he saw what everybody else was doing when their hairline right now, got man. To there, hey, yeah, should he should have shaved it off halfway. Like,
hey, Big Horn,
I'm offended.
Stevie Wonder can see. Do you think the man can see?
I'm offended. I want to find out who was testing him to see if he could see. Who the hell was in front of this man throwing gang signs and shit trying to see if he was lying? No, Stevie Wonder can't see, man. That's offensive, man.
But why hasn't he gotten LASIX at this point? Why hasn't he done something?
Because that don't fix it. First of all,
can't never repair the eye.
Yeah, it don't
here's my Stevie Wonder story.
Okay.
So I worked, like Tangerine said, I worked for KJLH. Stevie Wonder owned the radio station. And from time to time, he would come in the studio and do shows, right? So I'm in the studio. It's just me and him. Mm. We're sitting in the studio. He said, who's that? I said, it's Rodney Perry. He said, oh, the Virgo. I said, yes, sir. He said, hey, look down the hall and see who that is talking. No bullshit. I looked down the hall, I leaned, I told him who it was. He said, I guess what I thought it was. And the motherfucker, he acted like he had super hearing. He could hear.
Of course.
He could feel.
Of course.
He could feel.
He couldn't make it out, but he could hear somebody down the hall talking shit about him being on air that day. It was crazy.
Did you toss him a football, though?
That nigga didn't
catch the one way to find out.
That's one way to find out.
No, he definitely, his senses are heightened.
Hit him in the head.
Boop.
That's hilarious.
That's ridiculous.
And last question, guys. Who's going to be the guy that sings for all the past people when Stevie Wonder goes? Who's the next celebrity to step up and be that person?
Tangerine. Oh, I thought you meant at the funeral, because, like, you know, at the funeral, or well, at the tribute.
But
I think Usher should be involved.
Usher
should be involved in whatever is happening. His voice is great. People haven't forgiven Chris Brown yet, but he is a good entertainer. And
I don't think he got the voice to carry no funeral.
You can't dance at the funeral if you
can't. Yeah, you can't.
I'm doing a tribute. You know how they have several people get up there,
popping and locking at somebody. Somebody wait.
Yeah. Usher for sure.
I don't know who you think is gonna be Secret Genius.
I think Usher.
Because Stevie Wonder is currently the guy. If somebody passed away of substance, of substantiality in the black world, Stevie Wonder is your guy to sing for them.
Keena Keen said Patty would do it, but she needs cue cards. Wow. She don't know nobody's what lyrics.
I think if we're Keena talking King. About a male singer, I think you got to go with Usher. I'm trying to think who possibly John Legend.
Oh yeah,
he's in that.
John Legend can't sing in a funeral. He gonna put your ass to sleep. Let me tell you something.
John Legend
asleep a whole crowd.
But he doesn't say no to any gig. He will perform at everything. He's always at that damn piano. He doesn't care if you want to see him or not.
Yeah, no, I don't like the
fact that
I think
Anthony Hamilton would be great to step into that space.
Anthony
Hamilton.
You know what?
We forget about Anthony Hamilton because he doesn't have a scandal or anything against him or a reality show, but he's talented.
He got divorced and the wife didn't even make no stink about it. Hey, Big Horn, who gets to step into Stevie Wonder's space when he's not with us anymore?
Man, that's a tough one right there, man. Because I don't think nobody. Let me see. We said, how about Tyrese? I'm gonna go for the bald-headed black man.
That's literally.
I like Tyrese. I like Tyrese, but he might start crying himself.
Yeah, you gonna cry?
Tyrese ain't stable enough, man. We need somebody.
Oh, I feel bad.
Somebody stoic that's gonna go up there and do what they gotta do. Tyrese too.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx would be a good look. Jamie Foxx would be a good look. I don't know if Jamie wants that responsibility. And God bless Jamie Foxx. He came out. He spoke this week. And finally, he talked about, you know, what he's been going through. Big up to Jamie Foxx. Get well, my brother.
Big up, Jamie.
That's how we met.
Fantasia.
Fantasia. See, I thought we was conscious. I was going to say Fantasia, but I thought we was leaning more towards the men's side.
Yeah. We already said Patty.
We said
because I would Patty, even I say if we go in women, I would even say my favorite woman vocalist right now is Jasmine Sullivan.
I like Marsha Timbrough.
Jasmine Sullivan is heavily underrated. She's very dope, and she has that cult following.
I like Marsha Ambrose.
I like her live. I like Marsha
a little bit. I don't fuck with her.
She definitely yodeling. Right? What about Ari Lennox? I like Ari Lennox right now too.
I like the dark Coco, the Coco girl.
Coco's nice.
Coco Jones.
Yeah. Coco Jones is tall.
Yeah, she makes up for real.
Yes.
Coco Jones. I would motherfucking throw this whole house away for Coco Jones.
Yeah.
Don't let your wife hear this episode.
She ain't gonna watch. Anyway, it's been a great show. Thank you to my friends for coming today. My name is Roddy Perry. This is Roddy Perry Live. Appreciate Tangerine, how do we stay in touch?
Please follow me on all social media. I put it right there on the screen at Official Tangerine on Facebook and Instagram, Tangerine without the official for YouTube and Twitter. I have a marriage podcast with my husband every Wednesday.
I love
Facebook.
The marriage podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
never
that.
Never listen to junior married people, but I love y'all
junior
too.
Junior married. And you were a guest on a show when we were figuring it out on earlier episodes. We're already up to episode number 51 right now. We do it every Wednesday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. People can get on the camera with us and give us advice or ask us questions about the relationship. We put the comments on the screen. It's a live experience. People love it. And we put the clips of it on Instagram. So that's every Wednesday because we met on a Wednesday working at Foxhole with Roddy Perry on a Wednesday and got married on a Wednesday. I do Tangerine's Top Talent every other week on my pages. I have a new show out that you will see me in on a streaming site that is Urban owned. I just can't talk about it while we're doing the strike. And I'm about to actually go to the picket lines right now, Warner Brothers Studios, again, like I've been doing a few days a week so we can get this deal done.
Wow. You're just a superwoman to me. Well done, Ms. Tangerine. Big Horn, how do we stay in touch, bro?
Big Horn Comedian on Facebook, and my Instagram is biglife_comedy. That's Big Life with 2 G's. And check my website out, man. I got some content up and some dope merch. That's biglifenation.com. That's 2 G's, biglifenation.com.
Hey, he's the man. Hey, never flustered. He is a secret genius. Welcome to the show, sir. How do we stay in touch?
The Secret Genius, just as you see it there on the screen on all social media platforms. The podcast is More Than Culture. Culture spelled C-U-L-T-R. We have now officially, it was some talks previously, we have now officially joined forces with the 85 South Show. So you will see us on all of their platforms. They will be releasing our audio we'll be releasing on their app, on their YouTube. Joining up to do
that's a great look, dude. Because y'all have shared spaces with them before.
But no, we've been linked since we started. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They have always been sort of the model. I'm not even gonna lie, they have been the model that we've been kind of modeling our brand after and always kind of paying close attention to what they were doing. They were always paying close attention to what we were doing, and it's dope for us to be able to come together and support each other, bring our fans over to their platform, and they're sharing their fans with us. So it's going to be dope.
Excellent.
Very dope.
Excellent.
Man.
Congratulations.
I love that you guys. And if I'm completely honest and transparent, I model what I do a lot after you guys, man. I love the way y'all run the show. I like the way that when you just turn it on the podcast, it's already going. Y'all already been talking about 20 minutes already.
That's cool.
It feels like I'm on voyeur. Well done, guys. Hey, thank you for coming in. Tangerine, wow. Thank you so much. Tell your mommy I said hi. Big Horn, man. Mad love, mad respect.
Appreciate
and the
that,
Secret Genius, man. Appreciate you for coming in today. That's our show for today. My name is Roddy Perry. This is Roddy Perry Live. Let's go.
Roddy Perry.
Get ready for America's number one funny man.
Funny man.
What? Hey. Make some noise. Ladies and gentlemen, from LA to New York, Chicago to Mississippi. Let's give it up for America's number